You're listening to Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Carolyn Baker is a one-woman whirlwind of communication, as I've said in the past. She is on top of world news as she publishes her daily news digest. Trained as a psychologist, Carolyn is author and co-author of more than a dozen books. She provides life coaching, leads workshops, and online courses. From Boulder, Colorado, Carolyn Baker, a warm welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Well, it's great to be back, Alex. I haven't touched base with you for a while, so it's really refreshing.
Been a couple of years, I think. And at that time, your motto on your newsletter, at least, was speaking truth to power. You changed that to bearing witness to the darkness and the light. Why?
Well, I think we are in a different phase of our experience now, and that is to really focus on holding the tension of the opposites, meaning we've got this global crisis on the one hand, and we've got all of the good things that are happening to us, the good things that are in humans, the good things that are in the Earth community. And as we deal with this very, very troubling time, with all of the challenges that we're living with, it's really important that we can hold both. So my daily news digest is focused on bearing witness to the darkness, absolutely. And also, it offers a section on inspiration that most news digests do not offer, because I feel like after people have dealt with some of the more disheartening news stories, they need that inspiration. So I try to provide that every day.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. Carolyn Baker, with her background in psychology and wisdom teachings, talks us through uncertain times.
I know you're working on a new book, and the title will be Undaunted, Living Fiercely into Climate Meltdown in an Authoritarian World. And last week you shared an excerpt which really nails it for the rest of us. We can't count on certainty anymore. Why start there?
I think it's very important to start there because a lot of people are looking for some kind of normal, especially after the last 3 years of dealing with COVID. You know, I heard a news journalist yesterday on TV saying, you know, I'm done with it. It's over. I'm sick of COVID. I'm going back to normal. Well, good luck with that, because a pandemic may actually never end. We don't know. But there's so much mutation of the viruses and so much happening in the ecosystems with the planet, with our past destruction of the planet, that is causing a lot of these diseases to appear. So we just don't know what's going to happen next. And normal isn't really there anymore. So we have to live in a different way, not looking in the rearview mirror as if we can have normal again.
But meanwhile, as you know, billionaires say, well, we have to get off the planet quick. There's no time to fix things like, oh, I don't know, world hunger or justice or climate change. Carolyn, are we trying to enter this fantasy land, or is it being thrust upon us?
Well, I think that so much is being thrust upon us, and it's really asking us to pay attention. And we have to be very discerning about where we get our information. You know, are things peer-reviewed? Is this a really reliable source? And that's part of, you know, in my new book, I have a whole chapter on we're kind of going crazy as a culture. My chapter is a culture decompensating into psychosis. You know, we've got lockdown, isolation, less contact with people, the fear of getting COVID, health workers burning out, committing suicide, PTSD, trauma, teachers leaving the profession like flies. Social media, alternative facts, disinformation, and social division where some family members can't even talk to each other, vaccine wars. You know, we're a culture that is mentally coming apart at the seams. And so right now, we need every tool that we can muster to help us navigate this craziness. You know, I used to call my podcast Islands of Sanity. in seas of chaos. I've got a blog now on Substack by that name, because I think that's really what we need to be doing, creating islands of sanity in seas of chaos.
Yes, islands of sanity. There is, though, a real world that intrudes with facts. I mean, when millions of people die of COVID, 96% of them not fully vaccinated, we can draw conclusions. Or if your home burns down where fires have never come before, maybe it could be climate change. Is reality acting like a psychological shock for internet citizens?
Yeah, I think it is. And what's really tragic is a lot of people are digging deeper into the rabbit holes, and they're not discerning. They're not getting their facts from reliable sources, and they just keep going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole, and things just get crazier and crazier. I think that's a big piece of what's going on, absolutely. And that's just really bad for us emotionally.
Well, speaking of that, a recent poll in Canada found almost 1 in 4 people are seriously depressed these days. In Europe, we see violent street protesters clash with police, and gun violence in America is cresting again. As a person with a lot of knowledge in psychology and a longtime world watcher, do you think the would-be rational society and even business is teetering on some edge?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And, well, of course, there's always the climate edge. We don't know what climate is actually going to do next. This volcano in Tonga, which was like the equivalent of 110 Hiroshimas that rippled tsunamis around the world. I mean, that's absolutely unprecedented. And things like that in terms of the climate may lie ahead of us that we cannot even imagine. So there's that, but there's also the authoritarianism that's sweeping the planet, and people in this divisive state that I was just talking about, it's really slapping us beside the head. And, you know, I really do think that in the United States, which is the only place I can really speak for, you know, the 2024 election promises to be, I think, an inflection point, because I do expect Trump to run again. And there's a serious possibility that on the heels of that, or even before that, we might really see a civil war in the United States. We are, unlike any other country, absolutely armed to the teeth. And as I published this morning in my Daily News Digest, a piece from Umair Haque from Medium, who talks about, you know, there's only one party that has all the guns, and the other party, the other folks, don't have any. We have a grotesque amount of guns in this country and people itching to use them. So anything can happen, I think, around the 2024 election in terms of a massive divisiveness in this country that may result in a civil war.
Oh, boy. So then normal becomes just a nostalgic word. But I do remember times when we had enough information, enough solid expectations that we could decide on a career and where's the best place to live. These days, we seem to have too much information, not enough real facts. And I wonder if we're losing the capacity to know the difference.
Well, I think for some people, that's clearly true. I mean, when you have, you know, a presidential administrator's, a president, one of his staff people, like I think it was Kellyanne Conway, who back at the beginning of his administration came out with this term, alternative facts. I mean, that says it all. Where do you go from there when people believe in alternative facts? I mean, what a mind warp. And it's very hard to be discerning these days. It really is. Very difficult.
Old people do have a reputation for retreating into the past, seeking childhood memories, as we know. But now, the present is this ruthless pandemic, and the future looks pretty dangerous and wrecked. I wonder, are masses of people retreating into the past, trying to reconstruct the old normal?
Well, you know, that's one of the hallmarks of fascism. That's what Hitler did with the people in Germany. You know, oh, let's look back to the nostalgic past. We had such a wonderful culture before these Jews and other foreigners got here. You know, it was pure. It was wonderful. And, you know, let's get back to that. Well, I can help you get back to that. We'll get rid of all the people who are different from us. And so I think we're really on a slippery slope when that happens, and it's happening.
Well, as climate ramps up, a billion people live near the seashore where these powerful storms will bring in the higher seas, and humans will retreat, and then they'll migrate, I guess. But the European tradition is sedentary, they call it, based around a solid home. People who moved around were suspicious, like the gypsies. But now you, Carolyn, and me, and hundreds of thousands of other North Americans have emergency evacuation bags near the door for part of the year. And we may have to go with little notice when the wildfires come or the floods and when the power goes out. I mean, it's no accident that Ford makes a popular model called Escape. I mean, that's a fundamental change for a lot of our listeners. How are we supposed to cope with our fear of uncertainty itself?
Well, I just finished, I'm not actually finished, but I have been working this afternoon on one of my chapters in the book called At Home as a Refugee. Many of us have become and will become climate refugees, being exiled by nature, of course, to a different living arrangement in a distant location is traumatic at worst and disorienting at best. So I'm asking the question and providing some tools for how do we discover our inner home in the midst of potentially heartbreaking disruption. And see, as you know, I've been writing for the last 15 years around these topics, and I always come back to the inner work that must be done inside of us. Yes, there's deep adaptation that we must do on the outside. There are preparations that we must make, but we absolutely must do this inner work of emotional and spiritual preparation if we have any hope at all of surviving, and if not surviving physically, at least to have the emotional and spiritual stability and support to give and to receive in these daunting times.
You do give us clues about how Buddhists and mystics have embraced uncertainty instead of running away from it.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh, who just passed, one of the great Buddhist teachers of all time, and many mystics before him, they say, don't run from this uncertainty. Don't try to create certainty in a world where you can't have it. So embrace that uncertainty. And on the one hand, like I said earlier, to be holding the uncertainty and the terror that you're feeling. And on the other hand, to be enjoying in your daily life the love that is there, the beauty that is there, the deep connection with nature that's available to you, the support and contact with others who are allies on this journey, to be holding both of those realities. And it's very hard work, but it really is what we must do in uncertain times that give us no guarantee of how anything's going to go for sure.
Is it possible we are entering a new psychic phase, so to speak, maybe entering a new state of consciousness or hopefully not unconsciousness?
Well, I certainly hope so. Climate is smacking us upside the head with that reality, and we're either going to deny or fight it. The climate dilemma is so often couched in we have to fight climate change. Ignorantly fighting it is not going to get us where we need to be. So, you know, I talk about denial versus deeply adapting, in which many people who are listening to me are probably familiar with the deep adaptation paper that Jem Bendel published a few years ago in the deep adaptation movement, which is, yes, all of this is real, and we're facing potential extinction, and how do we adapt? How do we mitigate this day to day? And then how do we, as I've said before, prepare ourselves emotionally and spiritually and create the support systems around us to help us navigate this?
Would you like to talk about your work on elders or Aboriginal knowledge and maybe the power of older women?
I'm about to offer with two colleagues of mine an 8-week series called Coming of Age at the End of an Age. And this is all about eldering. And looking at what our role is as we grow older in a world of climate chaos. We might be too old to plant gardens or homestead or march in the streets to protest planetary abuse. So what is ours to do? And really, the main thing that is ours to do, however we choose to do it, is to step into the role and claim the role of elder instead of just becoming older. And in a biological time of limits that we face as we age, how do we expand our vision and our outreach? Because there's always something we can give. There's always some light that we can shine as older people, even as we face our limits. I would encourage people, watch my daily news digest for more information on this series. You can also visit the website of Center for Purposeful Leadership. Definitely, as elders, we have a role to play. The world needs our wisdom. It's time to not just become older, but to truly become wiser.
Carolyn Baker, her latest work with Andrew Harvey is Radical Regeneration, Birthing the New Human in the Age of Extinction. You can find Carolyn's workshops, webinars, and her fabulous daily news service at carolynbaker.net. Thank you for keeping going and talking with us today. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.